Constellation. Hello, and welcome to Soulful Wildflowers, a podcast where we explore topics and modalities to help raise your vibration, strengthen your internal guidance system, and your connection with self. I'm Carrie, a writer, emotional wellness coach, empath, and explorer of spirituality. My goal is to awaken the lightworker inside of you by discussing topics you may have previously thought out of reach. So welcome to Woo Woo 101, a down-to-earth approach to spirituality. As Dolly Parton once said, wildflowers don't care where they grow. So no matter where you are in your awakening, years in, or just starting to explore, you're exactly where you need to be. We're so grateful you're here and can't wait to grow with you. Hello, good morning. Technically, it's 5 minutes, still morning here on the East Coast. Welcome. Hello, how are you? This is another episode of the Soulful Wildflowers podcast. I am Carrie Fox, your host. And I'm coming to you live here from my office bright and early on a Sunday after a little bit of a hiatus, which tends to be the norm for me. I am definitely recognizing that I am a cyclical creature and there is this constant ebb and flow of being bright and sunny and happy and what I feel is like my normal, this normal part of me. And then there's this like withdrawn, contemplative, thinking through all the things where I just have to like shut everything out and give myself some space to give myself some space. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's where I've been lately. So I know it's been a while since we've done a live episode, but I'm back. So today I wanted to talk about strength and how we as a society kind of, put this value on strength, you know, how we say, wow, you're so strong, you know, all these things that you've been through and you're so strong. Like we praise when somebody is strong, whereas, you know, this idea that showing emotion is a weakness, even though it's totally a natural part of life and of the cycle that you're going to go through, right? So if you don't know, as you can see from my sweatshirt here, I am a huge Disney fan. I have not seen the movie Encanto yet. So spoiler alert, I haven't seen it, but if you have seen it, don't spoil alert, but I'm going to spoil alert because I've been watching, I've seen a lot of feedback about this and how this particular movie portrays strength and the characters within the movie kind of go through, you know, how they assign value to their strength and recognizing that that's not all that encompasses them. So I just wanted to speak on that today because I think it is such a huge part of motherhood where, you know, motherhood in itself is this huge spiritual awakening. Like I'm recognizing that the act of motherhood and of being a caretaker in any capacity, it becomes a spiritual awakening because you are just completely stripped of everything you thought you were, everything you thought you were going to be, and becoming this whole new version of yourself without even having the forethought or, you know, the acknowledgement that this process is going to happen. Like, I know for me, when I had my first child 8 years ago now, that was not at all in my compass of thought, you know, this idea that I was going to be stripped of everything I thought I was and have to kind of start fresh and rebuild myself from there. So back to this movie. And again, if you haven't seen it, maybe you want to skip ahead a couple of minutes, but, There are multiple characters, obviously, in the movie, but there is Maribel, I believe, is the main character. I'm probably getting this wrong because, again, I haven't seen it. But the main character, and she lives in a family that is gifted. You know, each family member has their own unique gift. And one of her sister's gifts is strength. And as she's going through this process of identifying what her own gift is, she is encountering each of her family members and, you know, kind of recognizing their gifts. And so the sister, and I don't know her name, I apologize, but the sister who, you know, is known for strength all throughout the movie, my understanding is that, you know, she's constantly offering her strength, you know, lifting things for other people, carrying burden, right? Carrying burden, carrying things for other individuals. And when she starts to lose her strength, she's like, well, what's my purpose? Like, what value do I provide in society if I don't have strength as a value? And so it's really interesting because we live in a society where, I mean, straight early on, you're taught to, I mean, even in preschool, you are taught to wake up at a certain time, be on schedule. You know, you go through this routine to learn how to be a good worker bee so that once you graduate, you can, you know, be a part of society and, you know, go work for somebody's company where you're producing, right? Like the whole purpose is you are a happy little worker bee and you are producing honey for the queen, whoever she is, whatever company that is. And that is your purpose, is to produce. So if we live in this society where we're already at a very young age assigning value to what can you produce? What, even as a young child, you know, what grades can you produce? What, you know, how many answers can you get right? Where if you don't get it right, it's frowned upon. Like it's, you know, you're not smart enough. You're not enough, right? So we're already in this society where value is derived by what your strength is. Like how strong are you to produce the most outcome, to get the most out of whatever it is that you're producing? You know, your strength is derived from what you can produce, and that's where you get your value. You assign value to that. So now come motherhood and you're still a happy little worker bee. Nobody has told you to stop being a happy little worker bee. You still have to produce. But now you have these small children, whether it's one or multiple, that you have to take care of, and they need you to produce as well. You know, produce them food and produce them education and meals and making them happy and doing all the things and exercise and, you know, making them, again, a part of a happy little child in society, and you're producing. But that 90% of you that was already producing doesn't get a break. And so it's like, well, there's nothing in society that is telling us right now that it's okay to stop, to, you know, shift 50% of your workload, because now you have a whole new 50% that you're gaining. Instead, we just accumulate that original 90% with this new 50%. And now we're 40% over capacity. and we're burnt out. And we just burn out so easily. But we don't give ourselves space to actually take a second to sit back and say, oh, I don't expect you to be able to do all the things. Like, think about it this way. If you were working at a company, and this happens a lot, unfortunately, you're working at a company and you are hired for a specific task. Great. Well, now, you know, you've worked there for a couple of years. You may accumulate additional tasks. You may, you know, switch positions and accumulate a whole different role entirely. But then the person next to you leaves. Well, we need to temporarily, right? It's always temporary. Temporarily split those tasks that one person did against you and this other person. So now you've got 50% of somebody else's job. It's not feasible for you to produce the same output when you're now having to do your job, your original job, and this job from whoever, you know, left the company, this opening, right? So something's got to give. Like, something's not going to get done. You physically can't do everything. But there's this mentality, even in the work environment, I think, that the expectation is that you should be doing all the things. And we're not really worried about burnout. We're not really going to offer you anything for your mental health or your emotional health, or, you know, now you're working extra hours. So your physical health is downhill because you're not able to wake up early enough to get on the treadmill, or you're staying longer at work. And now you're not eating as well because you're not able to spend time to provide yourself nutritious foods. And that work scenario can be applied to motherhood, right? Where, you know, in addition to working that full-time job, taking care of your household, keeping it clean, making everybody dinner, now you have these little people to throw in the mix, and you're constantly picking up Legos and stepping on them, you know, just trying to keep everything in the air. And it's like a circus performer who's spinning thousands of plates. Eventually something, one of those plates is going to crash. And on top of all that, you got to clean it up while you're still spinning all these other plates. So, you know, it's just this idea, like how we got here, we, you know, how do we change? How do we shift? We're these busy little worker bees, and we're starting to like assign value to motherhood. I think we're starting to be more open about it, starting to talk about it more, but we're not, you know, again, back to that like worker being working for a company, you know, when you're doing a good job, when you're producing, when you're taking on more responsibility, generally at the end of the year, there's kind of an assessment. You either get a raise, maybe you get a different position. Maybe you get help, you get to be a manager and you get staff to help you with this position that you're fulfilling. But in motherhood, like there is no raise. There is no, you know, Friday flexible time off or summer hours, or, you know, there's no, nobody is going to go, you know what, Carrie, you've worked really hard this week. You've done an awesome job being a mom. Take Friday off. Nobody's going to tell me to do that. And nobody is going to offer their time so that I can do that. So I think, again, going back to the original idea where we assign value based on how strong we can be as individuals. We assign value based on, you know, what we can produce, what we can provide for others. And I think that's a huge thing in motherhood where, you know, thinking of, so Valentine's Day was a week or so ago, and multiple women in my life said to me directly, "Oh my God, I didn't do enough for my child." Again, overproducing, like we're expected to produce these perfect Valentine's Day cards with gifts attached and goodie bags. And look, I sent my 2-year-old into her classroom with a bag of candy, an unopened bag of candy. We did not do cards. I did not make goodie bags. I offered them a piece of chocolate. She's two. She won't remember this. It's okay, because I have two other children that we had to do the Valentine's Day cards for and attach candy to, and the whole kit and caboodle. And I'm just saying, you know, it's okay. I'm not a bad mother because I sent my 2-year-old in with a bag of chocolate for Valentine's Day. I don't consider myself a bad mother because I offered her a means to participate in the celebration and to give to her class. But that was, I gave as much as I could without burning myself out. And we, you know, we need to come back to this place of understanding what our capacity is. If you've hit your capacity, things are going to have to fall off your plate. And the same in the work environment, right? If you've hit your capacity, your 40 hours for the week, you have to think, you have to ask yourself, is this job, yes, it may provide a paycheck and put food on the table, but is this job worth my mental health, my emotional health, my physical health, my relationship with my children or with my spouse, my partner? Because, you know, you come home after working 50 hours a week, you are exhausted. You don't want to play, like you don't want anybody to touch you. And that's interfering with your relationships. You're not able to be present. So it's just interesting to me. It was something that I've been thinking of as I'm, this movie Encanto has been, you know, all over the place. And again, I haven't seen it, so no spoilers, but I did read about some of the scenarios, and I thought that was such a good illustration of motherhood and of, you know, being the matriarch and carrying all the plates and expecting not to drop anything. And then heaven forbid you do drop something and you get emotional about it. Allow it. Like, why hide it? You know what? Mommy has had a rough week. I've worked too much. We're having pizza tonight again. I'm sorry. it's, you know, allowing yourself to feel these emotions and feel whether it's burnt out or frustrated, because the problem is that bottling them up, we all know we stuff down those emotions at the end of the week, the end of the day, they're going to come out, whether it's in a way that is healthy or not, probably not, especially if we're stuffing them down. But I think it's important that we give ourselves space and bring awareness to the fact when we're getting burnt out so that we can acknowledge that we need space. And interestingly enough, as I've been MIA, I've kind of been in this space where I recognize I was burnt out, but I wasn't giving myself the space. So then I took a day off of work so that I could have this space. Y'all, I didn't know what to do with myself. I literally sat like paralyzed, staring at the wall, not knowing what. There were 1,000 things I could do. I could catch up on laundry. I could clean my house. I could go through and discard unwanted things. Spring cleaning is coming up. I like to do that every year, like cleanse out things that we don't use. I could have done some meditation and journaling. I did actually try to meditate and my brain just like wasn't working. I could have gone outside for a walk and I literally was paralyzed with the amount of decision overwhelm that I just sat there for like 2 hours straight staring at the wall, like literally paralyzed. And now that I'm in a little bit healthier spot, I recognize it was because I was so burnt out, just even the idea of making another decision. It was decision paralysis, right? Where if you ever get to a point where you're like overstimulated, it doesn't matter. It's the lights or sound or people touching you. You literally have to shut everything down for your body to recuperate from that energy that you've expelled. And like, how do we get to a point where we don't get so far into it? And this is something that I'm still learning, right? We don't get so far into giving that we forget to refuel. And by the time we're acknowledging that we need to refuel, we physically can't because we're so exhausted. So, interesting place to be. I don't necessarily know the solution other than, you know, practicing being present and recognizing it earlier and not putting myself to the side and my needs to the side, just because everybody else has needs as well that I'm trying to fill. Allowing ourselves to be just as important as everybody else in the room. I think that is a very good start for us, right? Acknowledgement and then taking the action. And it doesn't have to be a big action. You know, you don't have to take, maybe you can't take the whole day off, but maybe it's getting up 5 minutes earlier so that you can have a sip of coffee by yourself and give yourself a moment to give your brain some space without reacting, right? Because usually what are we doing in motherhood? We're reacting. We're, I need to pick this thing up because I just stepped on it. I need to, you know, the baby now wants some milk and the middle child bumped her head and I need to soothe her. And oh, wait, I got to take something out for dinner. We're reacting. Like we're constantly responding to this stimulus of motherhood. And so giving yourself that space where maybe there is no stimulus and you can actually be present in the moment and practicing that when there isn't, you know, so much going on, I think gives you an opportunity to be present when there is a lot going on, because now your body knows how to go through those motions of you know, taking a deep breath and recognizing, you know, sometimes just like feeling your fingers, like physically bringing your presence back to yourself. Breath work, walking, being out in nature, all of those are just like very healing and energetically cleansing. So what else? There was something else I wanted to share today and I wrote it down. So I'm going to have to find my notes here. Oh yes. The other thing that, no, I did talk about that. Yeah. So the other thing was talking about, recognition in motherhood, like, you know, assigning value to ourselves. As mothers, I think there's a lot of times we assign value to the fact that we're able to provide, we're caretakers. And so Mark just, it's so weird to call you Mark, but Marco just wrote in. So I definitely find myself a lot more patient when I wake up slightly earlier to lift some weights. Yeah. And I think, I totally lost my train of thought. But I think giving yourself that space, and again, it's filling your cup, right? Taking care of yourself first, whether it is emotionally by giving yourself space to release, whether it's anger, frustration, you know, making space for joy, right? How can I be more present in the moment so that I can actually be joyful? Because to me personally, and this is my goal for 2022, joy is my word for 2022. Where can I find more joy in my day? And I think being present is equally equivalent to joy. And so allowing yourself to process all these emotions that are coming up throughout your week, throughout your day, whether it's first thing in the morning or before you go to bed, I highly recommend both a morning and an evening routine. I think evening routines are awesome for kids because it helps get them ready and prepped for the day. And many episodes ago, and I can't think of her name now. I think we had Natalie on. She was a sleep training expert that I had personally used for my daughter, Elena. And that was one of the main things that she recommended was that sleep schedule, like doing that routine over and over again. And it's just like exercising your muscles, right? You're lifting weights, you're doing something repetitively so that you can build strength in that area. So again, funny, we're talking about strength here, but allowing yourself to process emotions when you're in a more healthy place. If you do that more often, then you're less likely to get to the point where you've bottled everything down and now they're just exploding out of you. And I remember a mentor of mine said something along the lines of sadness is a mask for anger and anger is a mask for sadness. And so if you are somebody who is reactive in a very like angry, violent way, maybe you throw stuff, maybe you're verbally vocal about it, maybe you punch the wall. I mean, hey, no judgment here. My question to you would be, when you look inward and you allow yourself space to journal or dive into what is actually triggering that anger, is it sadness underneath? Is it maybe grief? And it doesn't have to be grief in the sense of you physically losing a loved one. Although, yes, I think that is absolutely the foundation, or can be a foundation for anger, right? But losing yourself, because that's what we're talking about here. In being a parent in general, that spiritual awakening of parenthood is losing yourself entirely, because all those things that you once used to do, you can't do anymore, because now you have to make all this space for this little person, right? Again, going back to that corporate job example, you already have 100% of your capacity filled. You're that busy little worker bee. And now the worker bee next to you left and you're having to compensate for all of their work too. Now you're doing 150%. Well, it's just not feasible. You physically can't do it. Something's got to drop. And I don't know where I was going with that, but that's okay. I'm a little all over the place today. But again, I think giving yourself space is a great start for that. Acknowledging your emotions, acknowledging, you know, what's coming up for you right now, I think is really important. And I'm feeling called to pull a card, which is a little random, but we're going to do it. We're going to do it. So I've been, and you're going to hear me shuffle in the audio. I apologize. We want to make sure we get an appropriate card for the audience today. I've been trying to talk through with myself in my spare time that I have. Hold on, I'm going to shuffle. How do I marry this idea of motherhood, parenthood, and spirituality? Because they seem very isolated to me, at least historically, when I've dived into the spirituality end, it has very much been like, at the end of this, you'll learn how to be a psychic medium and you can give readings to people. And that's all fine and dandy. If you are a psychic medium, I love you. You're amazing. But that just I didn't feel called to do that. I still wanted to be able to provide insight to people and help people through a process, but I didn't know what that was. And I couldn't figure out how to tie it to motherhood. And so I went to lunch yesterday with my best friend, Jess, who has been on the podcast before. And we were talking through this concept and it occurred to me that, and I've done an episode on spiritual awakening. So if you haven't listened to that, go back and check it out. But it occurred to me that this idea of parenthood is in fact a spiritual awakening. And to me, a spiritual awakening doesn't necessarily mean like you find God or you find faith or, you know, that word spiritual seems to have this, like, especially if you are maybe of a Christian or Catholic faith, it has this idea that it is related to religion. And that's not what I'm talking about here in this idea. It's, for me, this idea of self-discovery is that you lose a part of yourself when you become a parent. And it's not to say that parenthood isn't this amazing, joyful process. It certainly is. And I think your children actually are purposefully brought to you to uncover things that you have yet to resolve within yourself. Any childhood trauma, any, you know, disconnection that you have with yourself, they are there to smack it in your face and say, hey, you weren't listening before, now you are, and make it very apparent that anything that you have left to heal, they lay it out for you on the table. And that to me is my purpose, is to help parents walk through that process of parenthood, that spiritual awakening that occurs during parenthood. That to me is my purpose. So as I'm recognizing this, because it's kind of a big shift for me, right? Historically, we had two separate types of podcast episodes. You would have a podcast episode that was like very much tied to motherhood and relationships and expectations and things like that. And then on the other hand was all this like woo-woo stuff that I freaking love and lights me up. And I was like, how do I marry? Where's the bridge there? Because there has to be a bridge. I'm a mom, right? I like woo-woo stuff, but I'm not a psychic. I mean, I'm not a practicing psychic medium. We'll go there. So it's like, how do you bridge that gap? And this idea of spiritual awakening is that bridge. So again, totally off topic here, but not quite. So I'm pulling a card. And this is really cool. So speaking on this topic, if you are live in the Soulful Wildflowers community Facebook group, you will be able to physically see this card. If you are not, then you won't be able to see it. If you're just listening to the podcast, what are you doing? Join. hang out with us. You can ask questions live, you can comment, and we can hang out. So here is, let me pull it up into the camera here. Maybe not. If I can get it to focus. No, we don't want to focus today. That's fine. Oh, wait, there you go. All paths lead home. Inner authority, intuition, turn your gaze within. So again, I love magic. I love magic. Welcome to Hogwarts, people. So this is really cool because it is, you know, I was talking earlier in this episode about cyclical, being a cyclical creature and kind of going like being really outward and really open. And then something happens and I have to process that. I have to go within. I have to quiet everything out, shut everything down so I can have enough time to focus and process within. And this is also what we're talking about too, right? Where we're bottling down, we're stuffing down our emotions, we're bottling everything up, and then it just like explodes out. It's like a yin and yang. It's two polar opposites. So how do we acknowledge, and instead of these like high tides and low tides where it's just like tsunami, right? Tsunami in size. How do we make it so it's just this like little ripple, in like where you throw a pebble in the lake and it just like a little ripple, right? How do we make those waves a little more even where we can recalibrate with less effort? Because I think that's what we're talking about here, is that assigning value, not to our strength, not to how much we can handle, how much we can hold, how full our plates can be, and we can still march on. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you can do some pretty freaking amazing things. If you are a parent, you don't even have to be a parent. I know that you can overcome and get through amazing amount of grief and struggle and trauma. We know this. That's part of the human experience. But how do we come back to ourselves? And instead of being so separated, and again, that tsunami where you're going up really, really high and you're dropping really, really low, how do we stay connected with ourselves more keenly, more fluidly, instead of this like exhausted back and forth, right? So this card here, all paths lead to home. Again, there is kind of like this Stonehenge vibe where there are three stones in the middle. And it's interesting because I'm hearing mother, maiden, mother, crone. So that's like your human life cycle. Again, that's also cyclical. But around these three stones are much smaller stones, and they're all in small circles around it. So like a small circle getting bigger circle and bigger, encompassing that. And there's a woman on the card who is just, to me, she looks like she's dancing. She's embracing the journey. She's not, not worried about the stones in the middle and getting there. To me, she's just dancing and being fluid with what is presented to her right now. And so there's also what appears to be like a waterfall in the background, and water is representative to emotion. So if you've ever had a dream where there is a physical tsunami in your dream, that has actually happened to me, or there's flooding, it generally tied to emotion. Are you flooded with the emotions that you're feeling right now? Is the emotion that you are feeling so overwhelming? And most likely because you're not processing it, right? You're not giving yourself space to process it. So it's so overwhelming that you feel like you're drowning, or that you're going to get caught in the undercurrent. Whereas maybe if you see like a little, a trickle or a stream, a shower even, that might be more cleansing and calming. And that maybe you're in a space where you're at that little ripple of emotion, not in the tsunami state. So this is really cool because this card ties directly to me, at least directly to emotion and what we're talking about today, which is allowing yourself to be vulnerable enough to not be what society considers strong. I think there is strength in our ability to feel our emotions, feel to recognize that, hey, we're not in a great mental health state right now, or we're not in a great emotional space right now. And we can't do these things today because, you know, hey, I'm sorry, I can't meet you for lunch today. I need a mental health day. Like, that's a very real thing that I think we're starting to, some folks are starting to recognize and to embrace. We have a long way to go. We have a long way to go to normalize mental health and your emotional health and realize that it is a part of you, right? What is it? So again, the three rocks in the middle, physical strength, mental strength, emotional strength, right? Those are the three buckets that you should be feeding to make yourself whole. And my hands are going to my heart chakra. Like to me, that's home. I don't know if that makes sense, but to me, your heart chakra is kind of like your home base, right? If you're gonna tune in, you're gonna try to gauge where you are. You're going to go to your heart, to your feelings, to feel into where you are physically, emotionally, mentally. That's your home base. That's practicing that, giving yourself space to practice that, and helping to teach your kids how to do that as well. How am I feeling in this moment? This is something that I work with my children on. And are we feeling angry? And then giving them the option as well, because sometimes when they are so emotionally upset, whether it's anger or frustration or hurt, right? They don't want to talk about it. So it's giving them that option. Okay, do you want to talk about it now? Or do you want mommy to give you some space and we can talk about it later? Sometimes they want to talk about it later. Sometimes they just want to be held and they don't want me to like have a conversation with them. And that's fine too. And that's fine for grownups as well. Like sometimes I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to show up. And sometimes I just need to be left alone with my thoughts. But I do recognize that, you know, if I've gotten to that point, then I haven't been giving myself enough space. I haven't been scheduling space for myself in my day. So that's a really important tool too. And I think it's a good tool that we can use where, you know, we're all attached to our phones, right? So schedule space in your day where you're taking a lunch break. Maybe you're the type of person I've done this myself where you bring your lunch to your desk and you continue working. Actually get up and go for a walk or give yourself, and it doesn't have to be 30 minutes or an hour. It can be 5 minutes. That's all you need to get started is 5 minutes. And I know you can do that because you're strong, and not strong in the sense of everything that you're carrying, but you're strong enough to let go of everything that you're carrying because you don't need to carry it all. It doesn't serve you to continue to carry everything that is becoming a burden and reduces you to burn out. So I think there was a little bit of channeling in there. That was fun. So coming back to myself here, you know, again, we as society today tend to provide value or assign value to strength and how much we can carry as individuals. And I think we are coming to a point where we're recognizing that's not sustainable and that we have an opportunity here to pivot and to say, okay, this is no longer serving me. How can I give myself space to like even figure out who I am and who I want to become, because that's that spiritual awakening, that catalyst that parenthood provides, is that you grieve a portion of yourself that you once were that no longer serves you in this moment because times have changed. Things have changed. You have different responsibilities. Now you're a different person than you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And that's okay. It's a beautiful process, right? How boring would it be if we did the same thing day in, day out, and we had no, like, there was nothing to like, wow, you like, that's not living. That's not the purpose of being here on this earth. So I don't know. I'm jazzed up about this topic. I don't know if you can tell, but again, so Thank you guys so much for being here and for tuning in. If you are not, definitely join us in the Soulful Wildflowers Facebook group. You can catch me live here. I usually do my podcast live in the group. You can ask questions. You can join me generally every Sunday around 11 o'clock, depending on how fast I can get my kids out the house so that I can record. And also, just a reminder, we still have the Patreon group or membership available. So if that's something you're interested in, check it out. It'll be in the show notes. And I don't know, I feel called. So I don't have anything set in stone yet, but we are looking to hold some, I wouldn't necessarily call it a retreat, but some form of gathering here at the farm. So I'm on the East Coast in Maryland. So if you are close by or you want to hang out for the day, we are going to start planning some events. And the whole purpose is going to be to kind of embrace the idea of community and to embrace the idea of recognizing that we're all going through it, right? The human experience, although it may be different for each individual, it is very much the same. There is joy, there is pain, there is happiness, there is sadness, like it is ever evolving. And to be able to share your experience with another individual brings us closer together and helps us realize that we are not alone. And in these times right now where we are so isolated, I feel like this is such a beautiful opportunity for us. It will be outdoors and we will be walking the property. I do know that much. That's all I have right now. And I don't have dates, but it's going to definitely be when the weather is warmer. So I'm thinking maybe like April. So stay tuned for more information on that. And if you have any questions or you want to tune in, is there a subject that maybe you want to hear about? Feel free to write me in chat. You can visit the website, soulfulwildflowers.com. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all the things. Hang out with me there. And until next time, bye, loveys.